Discussions with Ajahn Suchin in Bangkok, June 2000. Recorded and edited by Jonathan and Sarah. Speakers include Jonathan, Sarah, Ivan, Al, and Amara.
I'll just follow on my taxi story because it was...
Is it Paramatta Dhamma?
Well, that's an interesting question. There was certainly a lot of dosa there. But
dosa is not you.
Dosa is not me.
It's conditioned.
It's conditioned, but it's very closely associated with me.
By the idea only.
Yes, but of course, it's not someone else's dosa, is it? It's my dosa.
No, so. It's not your, because dosa can arise anywhere, any place, any time.
It can, but at that...
Outside. Outside, but inside.
It's only dosa because it's linked to the idea of the self. It only arises because it's connected to the self.
It only arises because it's connected to itself.
Well, because there's an idea of self. It arises because of that.
Well, it arises because we have attachment to other things, and when those expectations are not matched, then it can be a condition for dosa.
So I think that if we know more about Paramatta Dhamma, we can understand whether it's lopa or dosa anywhere and any time.
All right. Well, this was certainly dosa, not lopa.
But you say that when we study more about dosa as not mine, then we can understand other Paramatta Dhamma.
The interesting thing was, someone made the comment that it was Akusala Vipaka, but in fact there was no Akusala Vipaka involved, in the sense that it was a comfortable environment. You know,
in the room? You mean?
In the taxi.
In the taxi.
Air conditioned, nothing
uncomfortable. Did you explain that story? What happened?
Yes.
Because I didn't get the backpack. Oh, you got the backpack.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not the whole detail.
No, just the detail. Mm-hmm.
So the wide, calm river was a raging torrent.
Sometimes I think, Ajahn, that when there's a lot of akusala, which of course there is a lot of the time, sometimes it's more apparent. One problem is there's not an Arkirian autopath. And we don't see the danger enough of the akusala, and maybe this reflects the lack of depth of our understanding of karma.
I think that it's the lack of understanding of Paramatta Dhamma as Paramatta Dhamma, because there's the idea of I or the self who gets started, or akusala vipaka. But when we study Dhamma, we which doesn't belong to anyone, so we can't understand the anathema form when we talk just about the Paramatta Dhamma. Otherwise, there is always I in there.
And in a way, even when I say something like, oh, maybe it's more understanding of feeling out of karma, it's like trying to find a way to have less akusala, but still shows the desire to have certain paramattha dharmas and not others, but still shows our desire to have less akusala and our clinging, not feeling partial to the reality that appears. So there's always some, you know, like trying to find some other way to have less akusala, rather than just understand and accept the reality that appears.
I think at the time of having dosa, it's a good opportunity to understand more about...
Do not wait for anything. Do not expect for dosa to arise so that you can study more.
But if it does arise, then...
What about this moment which arises already? You don't have to think about dosa which hasn't arrived yet.
Right. But when dosa does arise, can one know more about the reason why it arises?
That is the expectation. When we study Dhamma, we don't expect that we will know this or that here or then. But the moment of understanding reality will accumulate on and on until it's time when dosa arises, there can be awareness of it.
But it seems very random if you just say...
Because there is the idea of I, so there is the idea of random. But when we think about the truth that there is no self at all, there are only citta and cittasikas arise together at that moment. It's not at random, because they have to arise in succession. You cannot have dosa follow the seeing consciousness instantly. So it's not at random.
When there is strong dosa, there must also be attachment, because there are expectations.
If there is no attachment, can there be dosa?
Probably not.
Probably?
According to the book.
Surely.
Yeah. Well, if you're asking me from the point of view of my experience, I wouldn't make that connection, because in the day,
is there no lobha, no moment of lobha?
Yeah, lots of moments of lobha.
So this can be conditioned for dosa.
But if you were to ask me, I would say it's not just lobha that conditions dosa.
Avijja.
Even with all that dosa,
but if you've got a lot of accumulation for dosa, why do you need lobha to condition it?
No, we don't need. We don't need.
Right.
It's there.
It's there, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it just finds an object.
Mm-hmm. So by understanding that as long as there is attachment to sensuous object, there must be conditions for dosa to arise.
Right.
Then we'll learn to have less clinging, little by little, by awareness and understanding of that level. But we cannot completely eradicate the attachment to sensuous objects.
You're saying awareness of dosa is a condition for less clinging?
Little by little, yeah. By knowing that it's useless, because the more we have lobha, the more we have sufferings of dukkha, for sure. Who will not die? Who will not lose everything in one's life?
Why is it that we tend to regret having dosa, but we don't regret lobha?
Because it's so pleasant. So pleasant, with pleasant feeling or indifferent feeling.
Usually the dosa is exhibited to other people, so I kind of regret the imposition of that on the other person, whereas my attachment
because,
also conditions.
Because there is you and the other.
I don't have any regret about that.
There is clinging to you, yourself, and the other. There is still the idea of I and the other.
Still clinging to oneself, because one minds what the other sees.
But I don't mind if the other person sees my attachment so much, because
maybe sometimes you think it's too ugly to have strong lobha like greed.
Yeah,
see?
It is sometimes, but I mean, not nearly as much as a dosa.
How do you know? I mean, you think that others will feel sorry when they see your dosa, but maybe they may not be sorry at all. Maybe a condition for kusala on their part.
And who is more unpleasant?
Well. Can mana be a condition for dosa?
Anything. Because mana also arises with lobha.
Dosa can be a condition for dosa.
Right, but when you say anything, that's a rather broad term. Like anya?
For example, if you don't have it, and you'd like very much to have it, it conditions a pleasant feeling. No, but panya can condition dosa, because you'd like to have panya.
But that's locally conditioning, not panya itself.
But clinging to panya. But panya can be the object.
The object is dosa.
I thought Amaro's translation of the Tamapakata Jnana here, and something which follows on, you are talking about the Uddha Yabhaya Jnana. All the dharma that Tanya knows must be equal, no kusala or akusala, no self that would like to have kusala arise from such and such a method. Development of Tanya, there must be detachment and no clinging to the object of Tanya, this is what I understand, not wanting a particular object. So in other words, whenever someone has the idea of a practice or focus, then it shows the clinging to an object and there's a hindrance to the development of panya. So when panya develops, it doesn't mind how kusala it is at this moment or what the reality is. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything you can add to there on Dhamma?
The object of Panya, is that right? The object of understanding.
Which is this moment?
And of course, if there's no minding about the object of Panya and the confidence that any object, any reality can appear to understanding now, then there's not going to be any minding about the aversion or the kalesa.
At the moment when Panya arises and see realities as realities.
I think Al was saying on the way back that this morning the discussion was about some people who've been studying for a long time but felt they didn't have any real awareness or something, right?
Right, awareness.
Yeah. That sounds a bit like me too.
It doesn't matter at all because what is real is real. Yeah. When it's avijja, you cannot change avijja into panya. And when panya arises, you cannot change it either. So one is so straightforward to see and understand what's there.
Otherwise it shows the clinging and the minding again, and that's the hindrance for awareness and panya to arise.
That was what you were saying this morning. Mm-hmm. So. But if there is clinging to the idea of having more awareness and yet also the understanding that you have to study the reality of the present moment, then the clinging is not necessarily a hindrance. I mean, it is a hindrance, but not a complete bar to the development of arising.
When there is the understanding of Dhamma as Dhamma, is it deep enough to not mind what appears? So that's why one should develop very strong and firm understanding of anattaness.
But the characteristic of anattaness is something that even if one is developing awareness of the reality of the present moment, there may not be any.
That's why there should be more studying and learning about the characteristics of nama and rupa by a different way in order to really have firm understanding of anattaness. So one is not troubled when whatever is the object of sati. Sati can be aware of any reality because the understanding, firm understanding about all realities are anatta.
So when you understand more about the conditioned nature of things, that's an aspect of anatta.
Yeah, there would be a question about what should be the object, or can this be the object, how can sati arise more often, things like that. Because it shows the clinging to the self, very deeply rooted, that it conditions many questions about the development of understanding.
Okay, I'm just following through here, which is sort of, I'm relating it to the discussion. If anyone does not have enough panya to have the strength to relinquish the attachment via the kusala, as long as there's still desire for something, he would know that other jnana cannot arise, etc., etc. But the strength to relinquish the attachment to kusala or akusala, I like that phrase. What does it mean, the strength to relinquish the attachment to kusala?
The strength of panya.
Strength of panya. Yeah. Not the strength of purpose, it's the strength of panya.
Is that similar to what we talked about the other day about the fish out of water, the similar that struggle?
Yeah, because you see that it's so very difficult to have less attachment because one thinks not just in this life, long, long time ago. So we know that it's quite very difficult to not being the slave of attachment anymore or even to get away from it.
Here we're just talking about the strength to relinquish the attachment to kusala, kusala in general, not particularly as the object of panya, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Because it shows that panya at that moment is quite strong, enough.
And is this what is meant by abandoning?
It's almost the same, different level, just very little different.
But does it particularly refer to not selecting the object of panya?
Yeah, for example, at this moment, one can know by oneself whether there is the understanding just a little of the nama, that element which can see, experience this object, is conditioned. It's not the same as the one which hears different elements. So by understanding the moment of seeing and hearing, one can understand one's own understanding, how much is developed. Or not yet, not enough yet.
And when there is more understanding of how this moment of seeing cannot be controlled or selected or must be conditioned.
That is thinking about the three characteristics of nama and rupa, but we don't have to think about that. But there should be the development of understanding that element as nama, of the elements which can experience an object. Because it experiences all the time, from the first moment to the last moment in life.
If it's there all the time and one's heard the explanation of it and understand at an intellectual level that the reality that experiences an object is different from the reality of the object, then why is it that it's so difficult to actually...
Because of the accumulation of ignorance. Yeah. So one understands what ignorance is.
Right.
It cannot understand reality as it is. Because now what appears through the eye senses only visible object.
Yes.
But the idea of someone there,
yes,
in the visible object. Until this is eradicated by more and more understanding of the visible object, which appears as just a moment of experiencing, an object which can be experienced through eye sense. It takes time to really understand that.
Is it that the ignorance through the eye sense is, I mean, there's a lot more ignorance about objects appearing through eye door than other doorways, do you think?
So one knows when there is direct awareness, that it just begins, and it begins and begins and begins and begins, just begin at that level until it develops. But the object is the same every day.
You say there are more stories through the eye door than the other doorways?
It depends.
Because it's through the eye door.
It depends on the moment. It depends on the object. It depends on situation too.
Correspondence on the list about the reason why the doorways are listed in the order that they are.
It's like someone has planned. But actually, no one can control or can change anything. But one can understand realities as they are.
You meant that the order, I hear, nose, tongue, body, sense, and mind.
We can talk about ear, and then we can talk about tongue. It depends.
But why in that order?
Always why and why and why.
No, but one time you said it was by order of importance as well. But how is it explained why which door is more important than the next?
Okay. If you'd like to have the clear understanding, can it help one to understand reality? But, but you see, one cannot get rid of the questions.
Right.
So while one is reading, one always thinks and thinks and thinks about why and why and why. But if there is the understanding, it doesn't matter at all whether it starts with ears or eyes. But if one loses one's eyes, can one see and read and help one to have more understanding?
Well, you can still hear.
So these two doorways are very important.
Yeah.
Well, hearing could be more important than seeing.
Hearing in that respect could be more important than seeing, because
it depends on whether you can read.
Well, in the time of the Buddha,
right.
When there was no written word.
If you had no ears, you couldn't be Bahu Sutta.
I wonder if you could teach that sign language. still think that it's true, then, that if you lose one size, that's probably the most problem you can have. You can hardly help yourself, you're going places and...
In terms of your conventional life.
I mean, if you didn't hear a car coming, it would might be less problem than if you didn't see it coming or whatever.
Yes, but I think that if we, because we know Dhamma, that if we lost our sight, then I wouldn't feel too much as long as I've got here and I can still hear
practical
Dhamma.
Problems.
Well, yes, but we're not talking about practical things
anymore. I am.
Just push it up.
No, I remember you once said, seeing is first, because from the moment you wake up, is seeing all day, and we're so attached to it, and we mind so much about the objects of sight, but we're not tasting all day, or we don't attach so much importance to what we smell, but to the seeing, we're so attached to
except
for
hearing.
Eye,
but aren't we attached to hearing too when we wake up?
There's no end.
There is reason, but I don't think that we should stress.
Right.
We should know all. That's it.
I have a question. Reminders that one gives oneself of things you've heard in the discussion or whatever are probably useful, but I suppose it's because of one's lack of accumulation for arising awareness. But it does seem that there are times when in a discussion
do you
like this,
mind very much about the awareness? What about the understanding? What one hears, can there be more and more understanding? It's just thinking about having awareness. Because just leave it to conditions.
Yes, conditions are so inexplicable.
Like thinking about awareness again, see?
Yeah.
What about understanding more? Is there no awareness when there is understanding while one is listening?
Can be.
Must be.
Must be. See, so
now
this is the ingredients or the sankharakhanda for the arising of moment of awareness. But we don't have to hope or expect for awareness, just developing understanding. What about having awareness without understanding, like dana and sila without understanding?
Well, that's a good question.
Anything which sounds good. It's object of desire or attachment instantly.
Does awareness perform the same function when it's dana and sila as when it's
but different level. With panya it's different. Without panya it's different.
Different level, but the same.
But sati
function.
Is the sati. It cannot be panya, it cannot be pasa, it cannot be jedana.
We could say that when there is dana or when there is sila, then automatically there is awareness at that level with the kusala citta. So in that sense, one could say you never have to think or be concerned or study the characteristic of awareness, because it just takes care of itself if there is a kusala citta. So if one's just interested in developing or knowing more about understanding realities, then the awareness would follow it anyway.
Yeah, but one can understand that there are many levels of sati. At moment of dana, there must be sati. And at the moment of sila, there must be sati. But by studying, one knows that it's not the same level as the awareness of a reality.
Because that's still concept.
Just understand. But attachment doesn't leave it that way. It tries to urge one to go on different ways, not just one only way, only one way, which is awareness and developing understanding of anything which appears.
The problem is people in the discussion this morning, if they think they have heard quite a lot about different realities, but still there is no awareness or no understanding, then they may just give up or abandon it because nothing seems to be happening in their life.
Yeah, but if they really understand about anatomy, they don't mind having sati or not sati. because there can be understanding of anything which is kusala or akusala as not self.
I think it just shows that the panya is weak, so in between maybe there are some moments of beginning panya, but in between there are doubts and lack of confidence and wondering whether what this is, and so it's not firm enough or there's not enough confidence yet.
I think also, most of all, I myself think that person is, they just really know the story about Dhamma and they've got the understood without realizing that that is only a story that they're reading in this only Panya. No, everything he said, he read so much and he listened so much and he understood everything what Ajahn said, including the pasuk today. He read and he said he understood the whole point. He understands. But he still said, why I don't have something. And this fellow has been like this ages. He's always wants to know what is the satic kind of life and, you know, what is satic look like and all that. And actually, because he wanted to have, and I think the more he wanted to have, the more he can't have. And he doesn't realize that.
Because he didn't really get the meaning of anathemas. No matter how much.
It's the attachment that keeps him from it being understood.
And he cannot see the attachment.
That's right, that's the core point.
And I'm still trying to control. Mm-hmm. He's still trying to control the realities. So
and he actually gets upset too. But he doesn't, no matter how much he listens, no matter how much he reads.
So he reads with attachment.
But he's still developing all the right conditions. Because he's
but
listening,
anyone who doesn't have right intention to study doesn't have Dhamma as refuge. Because they just want for themselves to have more knowledge or to have sati, which is only desire, that hinders the understanding of anatomies, for sure.
But we're told that if we develop the right conditions,
but
then
he doesn't have conditions
right
for developing right understanding because of his desire to have.
Because of his or because of the loka?
Mm-hmm. So
if
strong.
You listen to the Dhamma and you consider it and
for those
it.
For those who know,
yeah.
But for those who just want, even studying or reading or listening just for that purpose. And it troubles him a lot because as much as he has done, but he doesn't have samasthi yet. But if we really just want to understand, it doesn't trouble us at all.
Right, just wanting to understand or... Just to understand. But wanting to get a certain level of experience.
The understanding is just of what there is at any one moment, but that's a lot of thinking in that as well, Ajahn.
Yes, it can, but it depends on the purpose of study, which is very important. Because for the one who has the purpose, just want to be the smart one, or to be the big one.
But now we talk together now, and there is seeing, hearing, and the sound arising, there's sight arising. There's the thinking that there can be awareness of this, but that's just thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And
we don't mind if there is awareness, direct awareness or not, we don't mind. Because of the understanding of anattaness.
But the only thing to be really understood is the moment now, right?
But
so
if there is
many moments of thinking between of those moments, so but is that a condition for there to be awareness of moments?
When it's kusala, it would be, but when we don't know. Because it doesn't mean that when we understand this, then sati arise just instantly after. No.
Well, there can be conditions for this sort of thinking to go on. The thinking that right now,
until there's
chitta-jetasic arising now with the thinking of being aware now of sounds and
until there is more understanding.
There's no self. That there's only mm-hmm. only these things yeah. and nothing else. Mm-hmm.
My problem is that, you know, he does so much data and he's such a
for what?
Person.
For what?
No, but automatically you should have some kind of sati, some level of sati arising.
But for what?
For what?
For what purpose?
Maybe he just wants to
someone,
do it.
Sometimes I'd like to be reborn in heaven or gain lots of things in return.
Why, but he does it a lot.
So it depends on the purpose. So.
But there must be, when he's giving, there must be
exactly.
some general.
Just
purpose.
Very little. Comparing with the attachment to fame or
mm-hmm.
gain. Yeah.
Do this and get that.
Mm-hmm.
Or could it be that, you know, he's after some very huge side of something hanging somewhere. And he doesn't really know
in
that, you know, what actually is in.
So they, at
huh.
what level? Dana Asina.
But you could
because
say,
well,
then,
sorry?
At least it's better that he's going and at least
oh,
it's
yeah.
better that he's going and he's listening to the talks and there is the Dana, even if the motives are, all our motives when we give, there are many different motives, they're very mixed up.
Mm.
But I mean, at least people are benefiting and
so
he's leading a useful
so
life.
So it depends on the amount of accumulation of wholesomeness or unwholesomeness, which is more.
One could also say, well, at least he's very honest because he's admitting, oh, there's no awareness, or even though he's really
but
studied
he
so
would
much,
like to have it, even he admits that he doesn't
but
have
he's
it.
Honest.
But he's honest.
Just being honest with desire, with attachment.
But probably most people who were there this morning, most people really would like to have more awareness, but he's the one that's
no, I don't think that everyone, because many people just have the right motive to study for understanding.
Maybe that is what he wants to actually.
But he just also wants to have awareness too. While he is studying, he would like to understand and also having awareness. His aim is having awareness. So he count how many days, or months, or years that he has studied.
Maybe he doesn't recognize the lower...
So it depends on the motive.
Mm-hmm. Why? How does recognizing the lower practices that you depend on the motive?
Do you think that he understands that nothingness?
Theoretically, probably, but...
just by word?
That's right, just by word. That's it. Mm-hmm. Then, like,
what
yeah.
does it
no,
mean
but
by
but
nothingness, but not
I
really understand?
I don't see why it can kind of recognize lower levels of sati, you know.
The lower level cannot be recognized because
mm-hmm.
it has to be only satipatthana, which can be aware.
Otherwise it's almost automatic and
even
by
if it's there,
sides.
It's still he,
mm-hmm.
not the Dhamma.
Paradhamma is the understanding of the anathemist. It's very important right from the beginning, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
It has to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't see that, I think it's just like this fellow today. He just know anathemist by the name, by the word, that's it. So it's impossible. That even he's low part and he wants to have satipatthana, it's also anatta. He can't even see that. So if he can't see that, I think it's very difficult to go further.
So he can see theoretically, I mean, understand that it's not controllable.
Yes, yeah, understand the level that, you know, that everything is dhamma, everything is,
you just have to
superficially.
Right, it's
superficially.
It's,
he doesn't even know that? No,
I think that
so.
He knows
yeah,
by word,
so
by
word.
By word. But not really
the meaning, the understanding.
I don't know if he's aware that when he talks about these things, that these are just jitta-jitta-sikas that arise and fall away with characteristics that create an idea of what he's talking about, and these things are impermanent.
Mm.
Because it's a story that he's got, that he's not, there's no, there doesn't seem to be anyway that awareness that these are just moments that can be studied or understood. It's like he's looking, he's attached to an idea that something must arise mm-hmm. in him,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
personally.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, that's what I meant when I said he's looking for some big sign saying something instead of, you know,
yeah, he doesn't understand what it really is. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Is that the problem, or is it really isn't coming, although he's doing all these good things?
I think that, like Mr. Chisholm said, if there isn't clear understanding of realities, then it's, there can't be understanding of what the nature of awareness is. So he has his fantasy idea of what awareness is and mm-hmm. wants to have more of it, but he doesn't really understand what its characteristic is. Did she point out to him about the uselessness of the loba? Could he understand?
Many, many times. I don't think he understood. Still,
I still have a big question mark.
Yeah.
I still have, even today, I can't try to say anything.
That's why, you know, I think he seems to be expecting some kind of jhana right away, instead of, you know, accumulating these moments, etc. Instead of, you know, or maybe a deeper sati that you have to have.
He just wished to have it because he does not understand it yet. Because he used to go to somewhere, someplace, and practice before. And he thought that that helped him a lot. But by coming and studying, it doesn't show up that there is the development of satipatthana, because it's the way to become detached, not the way to get something like he used to go.
So because he doesn't understand it could happen at any moment.
He would like to have it at any moment.
But isn't it because he doesn't understand that?
But he doesn't understand.
No, actually what he said to me was, he said to me like this, he said, well, you know, I've been studying, I wish so much and everything, but at least I should know just maybe one time, just one time to give me some advice. And he said, what? I mean, how are you talking about? So I said, I've been studying, you know, in Paris, I said, over 20 years, and I just only understand, not long ago, really. And he said, yeah, still, you know, I've been studying. He still insists that it's got to be something that at least one time only, then he'll be happy. Then I said, oh, that will block your banya, your eyes, the more you want it. He said, yeah, I know, I read this before, I can't keep saying it, and I keep hearing, and I keep reading it, but I still wish to have.
I think it's interesting that he keeps coming back rather than going somewhere else where they will mm-hmm. say, oh yes, this is
with
something.
With expectation. Otherwise there wouldn't be the question like this. Can I have just one moment?
We had a little bit of correspondence because Amara was quite upset when Kuntong Chai left. So I think quite a lot of people were quite disturbed. Did you consider it was because of a lack of enough understanding or just because of wanting to, you know, be a leader? Combination.
All of the above.
Yeah. So it shows that one can hear and study a lot and explain a lot, and but if it's theoretical and there's not enough deep understanding, anything can happen. Is that how you...
It's similar to the fellow today.
Once you said that you have to reach a certain level before you never turn away from that idea. What level is that?
Mm.
When you never turn away from
Dhamma
anymore?
Lokutra.
Stream
into it?
Lokutra
Panyana.
But like
Sotapanna,
at least.
That is Lokutra Panyana.
Until that level only, not even a slight bit lower or something?
Yeah, Vipassanayana. Vipassanayana is.
Which ones?
From the very beginning.
From the beginning?
Because in order to have Vipassanayana, one panya must be so, straight to the reality. Mm-hmm. Akusla is akusla, kusla is kusla.
From nama rupa paricheta dharajyana, you never turn away from Dhamma.
Uh-huh. Because it's Vipassanayana.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a little better.
Yeah, a lot better.
But, but in order to reach or to gain, or to attain.
No, once you get there, I think you would want something higher.
Yeah. Right. Second.
I thought it was something closer to the, you know, higher than the first few levels, because the first few levels of Vipassanayana doesn't eradicate anything yet. It's only
No. But there is no self at the moment of Vipassanayana. So what is the gain for no
but
self?
But afterwards there's still self. I mean,
yeah, because it's not completely eradicated. But the understanding, the seeing, the experiencing directly of no self.
So what you mean is at that level that there is still clinging to self, but the understanding is so firm and confident that it won't go back, that the clinging will continue until
local procedure. You know, it's just clinging to a concept. There's no one who clings.
No doubt.
Just
no doubt. No doubt, but not completely eradicated about the characteristic of reality or the element of experiencing nama, tatu, and the rupa tatu. But that is not enough. Not enough. And one knows it has to develop more and more in order to completely eradicate the wrong view and doubt.
Why do they call the Sotapanna the stream entra rather than at this level? If at this level there is no going back, why don't they call that the stream
first entra?
Yeah, because there can be Jula Sotapanna also. Jula is junior. Or the Sotapanna to be, Sotapatimagga to be. But not only the first stage, it has to be the third stage.
Third stage.
Or the second stage.
Pajjayaparikahayana. So everyone who reaches the second or
the
third
Sotapanna
stage
to be,
will then become Sotapanna.
And nothing is eradicated yet until the level of Sotapanna.
Right. Mm-hmm. It shows that how strongly it's deeply rooted.
And also, there's no magga citta until Sotapanna, right?
So nothing is eradicated. So if the akusala accumulations or the views increase or something like this,
it has to be aware. The only way, the only path, and that person knows that without direct awareness, it's impossible to really insight the true nature of realities in life.
So enough confidence to keep going, but who knows about the time frame or when any development will occur.
And that person knows that it's not just theoretical knowledge, because it can be proven.
So what do you mean by that? My one way? Unshakable. Well, can you explain a little bit more? Unshakable
knowledge in?
In Nama and Rupa.
Sometimes people are not quite sure whether this can be proven. The arising and falling away of reality at this moment. But when one has experience directly, no doubt anymore.
The meaning has no doubt.
Mm-hmm. Because it's true, so it can be proven, and the person has proven.
When does the panya become a power or bala? Mm-hmm. And what is the difference between bala and indriya?
Yeah. Indriya is the faculty of experiencing satta, with satta or with kriya. But when it's bala, it shows that there can be awareness of anything. No expectation for any reality.
Could we say that panya is a bala, is the same as being unshakable, or
mm-hmm. yeah.
same
same
level or
power,
same
powerful
level or confidence.
Yes.
Could one say that Panya becomes a Bala also the first Vipassana Jnana?
No.
Later?
No, later. Because before the experiencing of the arising and falling away, there must be the perfect understanding of reality as reality. No expectation for any reality at all.
And no selection or minding
mm-hmm.
of the
right.
object,
yeah.
detachment.
Mm-hmm.
From the object.
So one can understand what's meant by Pala.
Next day, Sunday. Yesterday I asked a question about sati as it arises with kusala citta generally and then with citta that directly experiences the realities.
Satipatthana, you can
decide
where.
Yeah, right, okay. And can I ask a similar question about panya,
mm-hmm.
which can arise at the level of thinking
mm-hmm.
and also at the level of satipatthana?
Mm-hmm.
Does it have the same function? Is it just
yeah.
a difference of degree
right.
or?
Mm-hmm. All jetasikas have different degrees.
Different degrees, but always the same function,
exactly.
no matter.
One cannot change the characteristic of any reality. We cannot change its functions either.
So, in fact, when you are eradicating a certain kilesa, you are completely eliminating the causes for that certain jetasika completely. That jetasika never arises again.
For example, when the wrong will is eradicated by makkajitta, sotamatajitta, it cannot arise at all.
So you go from 52 jetasika to less and less?
It depends because, for example, when pitti is eradicated completely, it doesn't mean that the other jetasikas is less. It depends on the individual's accumulation.
But certainly, from the 52, you would have at least the less than kilesas.
Less ditti only, though, so that would be 51.
Once you lose ditti, you
yes.
have already 51.
Right.
If you lose it,
But we don't count like that because
no?
avicca has many levels.
Uh-huh.
When avicca arises with titti,
I'm
avicca which arises with titti is also eradicated.
Uh-huh.
The avicca cannot accompany titti anymore,
uh-huh.
but avicca can accompany other uh-huh. akusala,
jetasika
and jitta.
The ones that are eradicated, they never arise again. So
just that
of
one.
Having 50, you would have 49.
Yeah,
have
it depends on how we count or how we talk about, because when we talk about pasa, it's not just only one in the fifth of the 52. But when pasa arises with that and this.
Yes. But that's not a kilesa pasa.
No,
that's
I just
functional.
Give example
mm-hmm.
that we cannot count jetasika like just 52, because there are many levels and many degrees.
But when we count by the way of 52,
mm-hmm.
we are counting ditti as one.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
if ditti is
mm-hmm.
eradicated,
then
by that way of counting, there's only 51. But
yeah.
there's different ways of counting
mm-hmm.
jitters and jhana seekers.
Yeah.
So,
yes,
of course. Yeah.
Actually, we would like to miss more jitter seekers and get them all out.
It's not my idea. My idea is just developing understanding of reality because it's the function of all anatta, dhamma, which perform the function. It's not I or me who can do anything.
But I'd like to ask, just to make sure, once you eradicate it completely, that one never
that
arises again.
That is the meaning of eradication. Never arise again, completely eradicated.
And then you don't even have it to do as well.
No,
after, with no, no, I mean,
wrong view anymore.
Parinibbana.
Nibbana is a reality, Paramattha Dhamma.
That's the experience.
That's true, but after the Parinibbana, after the complete extinction, there's no more citta, no more jetasika.
Otherwise, Nibbana is no meaning at all.
So at the moment of eradication of
mm-hmm.
that kilesa, is it the citta that performs that function or one of the jetasikas arising?
Citta arises
yeah.
from moment to moment, performing one function to another function.
And it's the magga citta that performs the function of eradicating that particular kilesa.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At the moment of experiencing nibbana.
It's a translation for magga citta.
Path
path consciousness.
You said yesterday that if someone, like the monk who visited you in California, if someone clings to the idea of a bodhisattva citta, shows a strong attachment to kalesa,
no
or
understanding,
no understanding
of their meditation of akusala, no understanding of their development of understanding of realities.
Because if there's development of understanding, then it realizes that realities are anatta, so cannot be any way to hold on to some citta or something like that.
And what's the idea of wanting to hold on? See, there is the deeply rooted self who just want to be coming again and again.
Well, they have the idea that it's to help other beings and out
but,
of compassion.
But that is the arising and falling away of citta by conditions. When there is no conditions, no kilesa anymore, no conditions for birth anymore.
It's the idea of self-helping others.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose it's also a bit the same as what we were talking about yesterday about the person who wants more sati, just to have more sati instead of having the goal of developing more understanding. For the one who wants to attain to the bodhisattva, it seems that motivation is more the aspiration to help other people rather than to have more understanding of the realities of the present moment.
But how can one help the other without understanding?
Well, they would say that at the end of this life or after reaching Parinibbana,
yeah,
you can't help anyway. So
yeah, but how can one attain that stage of experiencing Nibbana?
Must be with right
mm-hmm.
developing right
mm-hmm.
understanding.
And without experiencing the reality of this moment, how can there be moment of experiencing Nibbana?
It's just clinging to some
right.
future goal, but not
idea.
Some fantasy.
So it's very, very difficult to have the satyayana, the yana which is so firm and sound about the Four Noble Truths, about the path, because in the commentary it also say that the path is very hard to see or to understand. But people today think that it's very easy. No study and they can't develop the path. But that is wrong view.
So satyayana is
satyayana.
Satyayana is the steadfast
of
confidence
the,
in the
yeah,
truth.
The noble truth.
The noble truth.
All four.
Is there a parami that equates to that?
Yeah, yeah. Panyabharami. And also Kanti Bharami.
At what level of understanding in daily life can we talk about developing paramis? I mean, from the beginning, can we talk about developing
yeah,
paramis?
Yeah, when there is
the
understanding. When there is understanding, the other moments which is kusala can be different parami. Like dana, you know that you don't expect anything to be born in heaven or anything else, just for dhamma only.
We're talking about the understanding of satipatthana, not just developing jhana
mm-hmm.
for it to be karma.
But
has
when,
to be right
once one has the understanding of the satyayana, all kusala would be parami because of the panya. So the other nine parami has the panya as the chief.
One thing that struck me recently, or seems to me, be the case when I've been reading and of different ways of classifying things is that in a way there's nothing absolute about the lists because they're just different ways of looking at realities. So
I think they just say that all things which is real are dhamma is not enough, see,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there are two kinds of realities, one is nama and the other is rupa. That
right.
is not enough.
Right.
That's why Buddha taught us for 45 years
yep.
in different ways
yep.
in order to let one really understand
right.
and can't see that Dhamma is anatta.
But if you're talking about things like the augas and the asavas, for example, they're almost the same kind of realities,
yeah.
but just different ways of looking
yeah.
at different analogies to help
yeah.
us to understand
mm-hmm.
them more
mm-hmm.
easily. But
at the same time, when it's
them.
Kept like asava
yeah.
and it can, how you say, get out as soon as there is the passa,
yes,
contact with the object. It's the same, and it is ochre, see, very hard to get through, like being in the ocean, and the ocean get wider and wider.
Some of the things like the stage of Sotapanna, for example, is a very absolute thing.
And understanding,
but other ways of classifying.
In order to let us see.
In order to help us understand.
Yeah, because we just sit here one day or 2 days and we don't see the asura and we don't see the ogre. So how can there be conditions for developing more understanding and seeing the danger of having very latent akusala, avicca all the time, each moment, when there is no understanding the Paramatta Dhamma as Paramatta Dhamma? Darkness.
I see. Is that right? Whenever there's no understanding, there's avicca, more or less.
Just very dim light. To really see realities as they are.
Oh, overwhelming.
That is true. You have to keep on developing with patience.
Last time when we were here, you said when Ivan made a comment that when he was in India, it was really good opportunities for developing understanding or something like that. And you said, oh, well, beware of the latent attachment to self. Is that because whenever we have even the idea of, oh, well, Dharma discussion is more suitable or in such a place, immediately it's some idea of place or thing? Or
one has to understand the truth that there is always lobha. That's it. Otherwise one forgets what's there.
And you're meaning here particularly lobha for
wrong view at in the beginning, it should be eradicated, not lobha for sensuous objects.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because there are many degrees of lobha as well.
Sorry, you said wrong view in the beginning.
Lobha with wrong view
should be
eradicated, first of all.
But we don't know when someone says something like, oh, in India, you know, good conditions for understanding.
Forget about something there.
Two people could say the same thing. Yeah. One could be with wrong view, one could be with lobha.
I didn't talk about wrong view. I talk about lobha. And the idea of self. Because whatever is good, whatever is pleasure or beneficial, what is there behind it? The idea of self, which hasn't been eradicated yet. That's why we have to go through developing, seeing the lobha as lobha in order to be able to get through it.
I still don't understand in that example why there has to be the idea of self when you say, oh, it's so pleasant or so good.
Because at that moment it's not the understanding, the characteristic of nama as nama and rupa as rupa.
So anytime there's not right understanding, there is
any
idea of self.
And even even a moment of being aware and right understanding, the other moment is attachment again.
Yes,
see?
And if it hasn't been eradicated, then it
that's why it's very difficult and very long way to go.
I think when you're talking about something like development of understanding, it's bound to be much more the idea of self than if it's attachment for a sensuous object. Because that's just a gratification thing, the sensuous object, whereas the understanding or attachment for more understanding and awareness and so forth is all bound up with the idea of self. Because it's not attachment for something that is innately giving pleasure, because it's the idea of what you want to be that is coming up.
Isn't it just one is concept and another one is experience with the sense doors? If you're watching a movie, or at least you're eating nice food, that's attachment to taste, which is through this, whereas the other one is a concept, which is attachment to a concept that I can be something, or it's really the same concept of self, same attachment as a self, really. I'm tasting nice things. I don't think we just have taste alone. I think we do have an idea of I taste, or maybe there's two attachments there, I taste and taste as well.
But I think that what Mr. Chin's point was that any moment which is not kusala, if the wrong view of self has not been eradicated, if we're not a sotapanna, then it is not a moment of kusala
there is the idea of self, there is the latent idea of self there. So if we're not listening to Dharma at this moment and we're saying, oh, in India it was good for discussion or something, if at that moment it's not a kusala moment, then it's attachment and there must be the idea of self behind.
Because at that moment it's not the moment of being aware of Inam and Rupa. So one has to come back to understand that whatever is beneficial should be the moment of understanding with direct awareness.
It reminds me of a question what you said Nina had about Rupa Lhasa.
Yeah, yes, yes.
Taking things for beauty and pleasantness and all that. And is that would be accumulating Sanya Rupa Lhasa as well?
All Rupa Lhasas arise with akusala citta. For example, when there is no wrong view, but it's akusala, then it is citta and sanya Rupa Lhasa.
So even if one's thinking of something pleasant, like the pleasant Dharma discussion in India, that can, it can also be sanya Rupa Lhasa or...
When citta is akusala, it must be sanya vipalasa, citta vipalasa, or sometimes with ditti vipalasa.
So any object. Mm-hmm. Or the same, like yesterday Al and I were talking about different people's generosity and comparing different generosity, but even that, you think it's a good topic, generosity, but even that can be a kusala or can be with the idea of self.
That's why it's so very fine, and there must be fine panya in order to see that it's lobha or kusala.
I still think though that if there's a pleasant object presenting itself in the doorways and lobha arises, very much conditioned by the pleasant object that's there, but if you're thinking about having more awareness, that
with,
there must be...
Is that moment lobha or what?
Well, let's say it arises with attachment. Yeah, I think...
Just wanting to have sati,
yes,
instead of having lobha.
No, not instead of having lobha. I'm just comparing the lobha that arises conditioned by an object presenting itself,
mm-hmm,
to one of the sense,
yeah,
doors, compared with lobha that arises when one has desire for more, for more understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So that desire for more understanding is very much wrapped up with me.
And what is worse?
Whereas the lobha that, what is worse? We shouldn't,
yeah,
we don't have to say...
The reality is reality, so we have to find out what is worse.
Well, what is worse is the wrong view. And I think there's a lot more wrong view when you're thinking about having more understanding than the lobha that arises conditioned by the present object.
So this is not very easy to understand.
When we do have that experience of a pleasant object, like food,
mm-hmm,
doesn't it also follow with an idea of we are enjoying
At that moment, it's the attachment to the taste,
right,
no idea about self.
Right.
But the latent tendency is there.
But then in the case of what Jonathan's saying is, then the other situation is, it's like when you want to progress or be better at something, right?
Yeah.
There's no thing that's coming through the sense doors except maybe hearing something or you're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So then there's an attachment to thinking.
Yeah, but it depends on whether that at moment is kusala, because it can be sati, which reminds us to have kusala instead of akusala. So it's just very fine that one cannot say that it's this or that by just thinking about it. But it must be the moment of being aware, just at that very moment, whether it's kusala with sati, which reminds oneself about what should be at that very moment, instead of just having more attachment to that.
But I think Ivan's wanting to compare the attachment through the object, through the sense door, compared with attachment arising when we should think about developing, if it arises with attachment, think about
it is
progress.
Attachment anyway.
Well, it's attachment to a concept about me achieving something, or
yeah,
it's an attachment to the taste of food.
Mm-hmm.
So the attachment just to the taste of food, does it follow with an idea of I taste food?
It's
or
not necessary.
So you said you've got the one stronger than the other.
I said that because the attachment to the idea of one's own development and progress is much more wrapped up with the idea of self than attachment conditioned by a pleasant object which is there in front of the sense door.
But I think that that's the wrong view of self, whether you're thinking about having more understanding or tasting or lunch or whatever it is. Then it's going to be the idea that I'm tasting my lunch or I'm developing more understanding. So it's the wrong view that permeates whatever one's thinking about or seeing or hearing, rather than what are the concepts at the time.
Well, if there is wrong view, then it's the same wrong view whether it's conditioned by an object presenting itself to the sense door or whether it's conditioned by the wish for more achievement.
Why do we have to think that we should have more? It's only just thinking about oneself.
Just thinking of another story.
But it's conditioned, isn't it?
But I think that when we listen to the Dhamma, we consider it and we understand it, that is enough. No more thinking that should I have more and shall we have more and how could I have more.
How much yesterday, how much today again?
But isn't that just a conditioned state that can arise? I mean, it's all tied up, some of it's all tied up in mana as well, especially if we're thinking we achieve
things.
Just say
that I have mana, but the mana arises when there is seeing or hearing, smelling, tasting, touching or thinking.
Well, because mana is there, sometimes it's bound to, this quality is bound to arise. So thinking that we are achieving or we're better or something like that. I mean, okay, it's something that can be understood, that it's just mana.
The problem is when you think that it's something useful or good or that you should think, oh, how much and how can I have more, and you don't realize that it's akusala and useless to think like that.
Well, I think the problem is we associate a self with it rather than seeing it as just mana.
Because even the mana is always me.
Exactly. It's always us.
So we were saying before, okay, so when we say something like conditions for more understanding in India or something, and it just shows the lobha with the...
And it can be the understanding. We cannot say, because we cannot know what citta is there.
Right, so it depends on the citta when we speak. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, for example, if we're talking about genius, knowing what is suitable, so we know, oh, it's suitable to hear Dharma or to go to India or something. So it can be lobha or it can be useful reflection. But would you say better just not think
I
like that?
I think that there should be the right understanding when one is reading Dharma, because without right understanding how to read it, then it can condition attachment instead of panya. For example, Buddha taught about the cause and result correctly, accordingly, but he didn't urge us to cling to the place or to the person or to anything. But by reading the teaching, one can understand what he means. For example, now it's the right place, the right time for Dhamma talk and understanding. But we shouldn't cling that we should have more and more, and shall we have this now and then and so on. See, but when time comes once...
When it's conditioned already.
Yeah.
So it's not like saying, okay, we should arrange a discussion tomorrow so that we have more understanding, but just if it's conditioned like that, appreciate that it's what is...
He just tell the truth about the cause and effect. But he didn't say that one should have more with clinging or attachment to it. That's why he said that the second truth, the conditions of dukkha, is lobha that should be seen from the very beginning, because we have to go on the path by seeing lobha. Otherwise, one is led by lobha and cannot see that one is led by lobha at that very moment.
So if someone says, oh, it's so good to have the discussions, or it's so good to go to Cambodia or something, and you're just saying, oh, okay, watch out for the lobha, or beware, because otherwise one is blind or thinks it's just so when one speaks like that.
Many
speaking conditioned by lobha.
Many people just hear about the word Sangadana. It exceeds all dhammas to the particular monk.
Mm-hmm.
So they just want to gain the result, but they didn't realize that. How could that be Sangha Dana? It's not the matter or the thing which is given. But they think that they should give this and that to be Sangha Dana, to gain the result. But actually, he said, the quality of the citta, which is Sangha Dana. That's why when one reads even about dana, about sila, about samatha, about the development of satipatthana, one should understand what is meant by his teaching. Even the right place or the right person, it does mean that one should go on running for the right person, the right place with attachment. But by understanding that if it's there, it would condition such and such. Like at night time, before we fall asleep, there can be moments of being aware. And if there's attachment that, okay, it's just there before going to sleep, it's attachment, it hinders again. That's why lopa should be known from the very beginning.
Ajahn, if that happens, it just happens. You can't stop that from happening.
Yeah, so but right understanding can understand.
Understand that it can happen.
Mm-hmm. That's why it takes time to really understand everything in one's life as different namas and rupa, even attachment to different things.
It's like saying, well, don't assume because every night maybe you'll pay respect in front of the Buddha image that is kusala, because different moments, and some moments are kusala, many moments of attachment, someone disturbs you and you're disappointed or upset, then it shows it's just one's
That's
teenage.
Why. The
but if it happens and there is kusala, then you can see it's not suitable, but
But for that moment, but no clinging. Mm. Otherwise, the housewife or the people who have business and things couldn't have moment of developing understanding at all. But by there is no clinging to time and place, it conditions the stronger panya to really be pala or power to be able to understand that any moment when panya has been developed, nobody can stop the arising of vipassana jnana or the makkhapala citta, even on the street while a bhikkhu was going around for alms or food, see, or cook in the kitchen.
In that case, if that's the understanding you start off with, then it's a pala from the beginning.
Not from the very beginning, because one knows that while there is no ability for sati to arise at any time yet, it cannot be pala. But by developing on and on, even,
In that case, why do we bother to talk about what is suitable or something like that?
Yeah. It is, but there shouldn't be clinging.
Right.
Yeah.
Like while you two coming here, it's through lopa. but I guess it's understanding that it's
I don't think that's through lopa.
You don't think it's lopa?
No. Chanda.
Chanda only?
Yeah, chanda, yeah. Because it's kusala, Because otherwise we'll sit and watch TV and read and go for some pleasure.
But you talked about yesterday lopa being attached to many things. So can't it be also lopa that attaches to the idea?
Lopa can attach, but it depends on whether it's attached or not. But it can.
But the idea of like coming to listen to a talk.
Yeah, good idea.
Is it just chanda?
When the kusala citta wants to understand, so he planned to come.
So Ajahn, if you're saying that it's only chanda that makes someone come to a dhamma talk.
When it accompanies kusala citta, it has to be chanda, not lopa.
She's not saying it has to be, but you could go because your parents wanted you to go or something like that. This would be different.
But say going on a trip to India, it's only chanda?
Because you just left everything behind and would like to develop understanding. At that moment, it has to be kusala chanda to
in
do.
Yeah. Because he didn't choose to go. I've got it on tape. It just happened. So no chanda.
I didn't choose.
But it's kusala, it has to be chanda, not lobha. So who knows except oneself?
What about, well then, when we leave like this discussion and we think that it was a very good discussion because we learned something, is this lobha?
It depends. That's why the object of thinking can be anything, but what is the citta which thinks? We can think about one's own kusala, one's own kindness or generosity, but what is there which thinks about it? The thinking itself. So the teaching is like the mirror that you take it with you anywhere.
Mm.
Whatever appears, it depends on what one is reading about the crime and things on the newspaper. What citta is there? Metta or dosa? Mm.
See, so it's okay to admit that you want to go to India. It's not conceding any attachment.
No, I didn't look at it that way. I really went to India because Al said we have to go. It was very difficult to find the time to go to India. And it's not like I said I don't want to go, but it was just the difficulty of going. Well, I'd have, you know, to know if there was chanda or lopa or neither, I don't know. I have to...
Actually,
it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter whether you decide to go out of chanda or decide to go out of
lopa. And you want to do something that is chanda.
Well, I knew that India would be very good. There's no doubt about that because it's been good in the past. And ultimately, if you're saying it's chanda, then maybe there was chanda.
So what about now, listening to the discussion, chanda or lopa?
Well, I guess, there's chanda, of course.
With kusala. So we have to find out first whether citta is kusala or akusala. So that we know whether it's chanda or lobha.
It depends, I guess, why you want to listen to Dhamma. Does that make a difference? Why you want to listen?
I think that there is idea all the time, and after seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, there is different ideas. And we shouldn't classify whether it's kusala or akusala because it's only just thinking or classifying. But instead of thinking whether I have chanda or whether I have lobha,
right.
It's just what about seeing at this moment, even while one is thinking, there is seeing, and seeing different from thinking. So there should be the development of understanding the characteristic of nama first of all, instead of trying to classify the situation. Whether it's kusala or akusala.
In any case, chanda can otherwise akusala citta.
Yes.
It can.
Yes.
For example, it's a cetasika that has the function of trying to do something and finish it, right?
It's the satisfaction of something be done.
So in fact, if you wanted to kill somebody or go hunting, it could be a kind of accompanied by chanda.
Chanda can accompany lobha or dosa or kusala.
You can have the intention to give something to someone, and it can be chanda and it can be kusala or akusala, chitta, that moment.
But I'm talking about the really opposite extreme of dhamma.
Right.
You know, like a lion going after
a gazelle. But then we know it must be a kusala, but even when it's something like, oh, you're going to give something to someone, but it can be kusala chanda or kusala. So it can be quite subtle.
Depends on the moment.
Yeah. Do you want to repeat what you were talking to Jonathan about yesterday, about the breath or sitting or something?
Well, it's been brought up yesterday, I think, the four postures in Satipatthana, is that right? And I've noticed it's been brought up a few times in discussions recently, in the Thai talks, and it is in the Tripitaka, talking about the four postures and awareness of the four postures, plus other things within the factors of mindfulness. So we were talking about that, and would be interested to hear your comments on the postures and why there was said to be mindfulness of the postures. I mean, for me, the postures are something that it's a concept that comes about through experience of through the body door or maybe through seeing as well, but through other senses as well. So really, to understand the postures, there has to be understanding of what arises, the moments that arise that create the concept of postures. But when we talk about, when this is said in the suttas about mindfulness of postures, what does this mean?
Before there is the moment of being aware of any reality, there's always the idea of me from head to toe. So in Tipitaka, it's just say like concept. For example, the breath is concept because the nature of breath is the softness or hardness, heat or cold, the four or three elements which can contact it with the body sense, so it can appear. But the idea is that as breath, so breath is concept. The posture is concept. The hair and the skin also concept. So because before there can be the understanding of Paramattha Dhamma, there's the idea of the time as the body. So this is the one section of the Satipatthana. To really understand what you take for yourself, you cling to this body so much, it's only a reality that can appear only when there is some doorway to experience it. For example, if there is no body sense at all, it's impossible to experience any heat or cold, softness or hardness at all. So when in life, there should be the understanding of there can be only one object appearing at a time. But the idea is the whole bunch of everything, like the seeing and hearing and thinking, and the body from head to toe is not missing at all, because it seems like it's there all the time. But by understanding that citta arises only one at a time, so the object can appear one at a time. So at the moment of experiencing a tangible object through body sense, where is the whole posture? Where is the whole body? That's why it says that in order to experience the anicchang, tukkhang, anatta, there must be that there is no posture anymore. Otherwise it's wrong, because it's the attasanya, the memory of self, taking the whole body as self. So there is the memory of, there is body all the time. But actually there's nothing, just a moment of experiencing an object. So in truth, at the moment of being a satipatthana of posture, it means that to be able to understand that there is no posture, only the reality which can be experienced through body sense.
The reality that's experienced, rupa,
heat or cold.
Is this what is meant by experiencing the body in the body?
That's it, yeah. Because it's the just a reality in what you take for body.
Oh, this is the rupa.
Mm-hmm. เห็นกายในกาย. Seeing Gaya in Gaya.
I have to read again, but I felt that the book that Nina translated from Cambodia, which you were speaking, did not say that. It didn't say that. I think it said something about the body and the body meaning impermanence in the impermanence of the body, but the impermanence of moments rather than the root is
the rupa.
Within the concept of body. Yeah.
Before there can be the right understanding of reality, there is the idea of concept of self all the time. But the moment of understanding reality is the moment of eliminating the idea of the whole self and the whole thing, like the earth and the world and people and things, into just a moment of experiencing an object. And just hardness, can that be me anymore? Is it self anymore? Just a moment of experiencing or a moment of appearing by contacting the body sense.